wonderful Wednesday morning across Saskatchewan. Lovely, sunny, warm weather. Temperatures staying above normal for foreseeable future. We'll take it. Brent Laux filling in on the Evan Bray Show. Evan is back in here tomorrow. Right now joined by Craig Siliphant. And we got a lot to talk about here. We got a lot to unpack when it comes to Craig. For those of you that are a listener of any of our Ralco radio stations, you often hear Craig on as a bit of a pop culture critic, talking about movies, talking about books, talking about music. I was just thinking about your business card. What all do you put on that business card?
That's a good question. It really is just my job title here at the station, but it could be longer if I let it.
Well, you're well known, certainly in the community of Saskatoon, just because of all the things that you're involved with, be it arts and music and writing. It's pretty impressive what you do.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been an interesting place to build a career. I mean, it's Saskatchewan, right? It's not New York or Vancouver where there's, you know, millions of people and lots of jobs. So it's been fun to carve out a career like that in a place like this.
This is your third book. This is what we're here to talk about.
Yep.
First two books?
The first one was Exile Off Main Street. It was about the Saskatoon music scene. It had sort of been based on my writing for Planet S when I was younger about the music scene. And the second one was in 2022. That one was actually short stories, fiction, and it was called Nothing You Do Matters. This one's called Bunny Hug Cynic. And it's closer to some of the work I've done online for outlets like Post Media or CBC or places like that, where it's these what I would call like humorous nonfiction essays. And obviously, when you write those online, they're 600 to 800 words. You have to keep them pretty tight for people's attention spans. But when you put them in a book like this, you can, you know, make them a little longer. So some of them are shorter, some of them are longer. The centerpiece story is sort of the longest piece, and that's the sort of cover story too about Bonanza Steakhouse.
I love the cover. That's the Bonanza sign on it, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I took a picture of the Bonanza sign before they took it down, and that made it to the cover.
What is it about the Bonanza Steakhouse on 8th Street East in Saskatoon that still holds people?
That is a great question, and it is what I have noticed in the last while, which sort of paved the way for me going like, hey, I should actually write this. It has had a nostalgic life since the restaurant burned down. And there are a number of these things sort of across Canada that function like this, but Bonanza was obviously a big one for Saskatoon. It was an icon on 8th Street for many years, similar to the Cave or something like that. Mm-hmm. In the story itself, I actually worked at Bonanza from, you know, the time I was 16 to maybe 2021.
You've done everything, really.
I have. It's lots of stories about just my time there and just how the thing worked, right? Because it was different than a normal restaurant. It was sort of like it was kind of half buffet, half kitchen. It was different than any normal restaurant. So, and then some of the strange characters that populated that place over the years. And to answer your question, I mean, I think that it's very Saskatchewan place in that it's, you know, big portions, steak, things like that. And, this idea of this sort of like down to earth, approachable, place that, you know, everybody could go to. And honestly, my family didn't really eat there a lot when I was a kid, but, I talked to so many people who were like, oh yeah, like I grew up in that place practically because my grandparents loved it or my parents loved it. So
it was the easy go-to, the answer. When, you know, if you got a family and there's people of all ages, where are we going for supper? It's got to be Bonanza.
Yeah, there's something for everybody, right?
Craig Siliphant's my guest, pop culture guy, but also author, talking about his newest book, Bunny Hug Cynic. Book just came out here, what, on the 15th?
Pretty much.
Where can I get it?
You can get it at Turning the Tide in Saskatoon. They also sell it online. You can get it at McNally Robinson. And I prefer that people shop local, but if you need to, you can also get it in paperback or Kindle format on Amazon.
What's your problem with Bob Seger?
Well, my problem is with old time rock and roll, which is just maybe one of those songs that you've just heard so many times. I just can't stand it. I used to think I hated Bob Seger. So there's an essay in there about how my daughter was born to old time rock and roll by Bob Seger, which was playing on the radio in the hospital like the day she was born. And we had, in fact, like it was very important to me what song she was going to be born to. And so a song I would hate would come on and I'd be like, oh, we gotta don't come out yet. And then a great song would come on and I'd be like, push, honey, push. And ultimately, my daughter is a bit insolent in many ways. And it was old time rock and roll, the song that I do not like that she came out to. But it did also make me realize later on, I actually do really like Bob Seger. I just don't like that song.
It's funny how we have certain songs that, you're right, are in our brains that as soon as you hear it, you punch it off, or then you'll say, well, maybe I'll listen to it, but I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I remember at one time the late Cam Fuller, when he wrote for the Star Phoenix, took issue with one of the songs that Penny and I used to play. I think it was a Rod Stewart song. Doesn't matter. I digress. Gord Downie, you got a story, an essay about Gord Downie, too?
Yeah. So the idea of Gord Downie, I mean, we were obviously all there, you know, at the last concert, you know, when it aired across Canada and everything. And then, you know, he died a little while later. But to me, it just always struck me is quite powerful, and I couldn't think of another time in sort of recent pop culture history where this really happened in the same way, where a celebrity like that died, and not just a celebrity, but especially for us, somebody that was so baked into our identity as Canadians, as a figurehead of that, even royalty in some manner. And, you know, not only did we watch him slowly, you know, do that last tour where we knew he had a terminal diagnosis, but, you know, we watched a man, sing at his own funeral, really. And that idea was so powerful to me. And my wife was like, yeah, I don't know, I think you're putting too much on that. And I was like, I don't think I am. So that's kind of what that essay is about, just how important Gord Downie was to Canada and, you know, what that felt like to sort of watch him sing at his own funeral, really.
Author Craig Siliphant, his new book, Bunny Hug Cynic. You had to get Bunny Hug in there, right?
I had to.
Do you have a story about Bunny Hug in
no,
there?
No, it's just...
just the title.
That's just me. I wear bunny hugs a lot, and I'm a cynic, so...
Why are you a cynic?
Well, that's a great question. You know, somebody asked me, like, can optimism also be part of that? And I'm like, 100% yes. I'm a cynic. I like to take things apart and look at them. And that's what a lot of the book is about, right? It's like, you know, a lot of these things, there's one story essay where I go after Gen Z fashion pretty hard, the Crocs, the whole nine yards. But, you know, in many of these essays, it showcases that, like, you know, I'm railing on about Gen Z, but really it says more about me and my cynicism and, you know, the things that I could be better about than it does about Gen Z or some of these other topics.
You pick on the writers in this book?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I definitely, the question I ask is, if there's a team that breaks our heart so often, as Homer Simpson says about the Isotopes, why do we still love them? Why do we still follow them?
That's all we got.
Well, that's very funny, because that's I asked our own Jamie Nye that question when I was writing the essay, and that was somewhat of his answer. So the essay kind of goes through first me kind of knocking them, really, to be like, what? Why are we doing this? But ultimately, you know, actually seeking to understand that question and looking at the idea of you know, being the underdog team in a province that long considered itself an underdog, and the idea of community and, you know, all the things that, like, having something like the Riders bring to Saskatchewan. And I have to laugh because the essay is about how they break our heart and they'll choke in the third quarter all the time. And they're making me look like an idiot right now because they're doing really good. So I'm happy they're doing really good, but at my expense.
So in this book, this compilation of essays, how many would be in there?
I think 16.
16. Yeah. Okay. So short read, basically, each one of them?
Some of them are very short, a couple pages. The Bonanza one is, like I said, the centerpiece. It's quite a bit longer, so it's you know, they sort of range in length.
So a good bathroom reader?
Yeah, totally. Or like I was on a flight yesterday. Yeah, exactly. Like, I was on a flight yesterday and I was reading a book of essays about something totally different. And they are good. I like them in those sort of smaller chunks. And of course, if you're reading one and you're like, this sucks, you can just skip that one and move to the next one and you won't have missed too much.
So. I like that. It's called Bunny Hug Cynic, latest production from Craig Siliphant. So that's your third book. You got more in the works?
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's always interesting when you roll these things out. And I think the landscape has changed a lot, both for literature and for promotion of these kinds of things. So I'm working on a little film project at the moment. And
really?
I really should only work on one project at a time, or nothing gets done on big projects like that.
You do have a job here at the radio station, and you do have a family.
That,
you know?
Too, yeah. That all keeps me quite busy. And thankfully, everybody is really good. My family's really understanding that, you know, on the weekends sometimes I got to lock myself up and write, and they get that.
Good on you. Always a pleasure, Craig. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Brent.
And good luck with the book. Again, you can check it out. I guess McNally in Saskatoon, you could grab it there. Bunny Hug Cynic. And you got a website?
Yeah, it's just craigsiliphant.com. You can find a link to it there, too.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Cheers.
You're listening to The Evan Bray Show. Brent Laux with you. Till tomorrow, Evan's back, 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. She Blue Jays are back in action against the Boston Red Sox, 5 o'clock this afternoon. Gosh, they're driving me crazy these days, and if you're a Blue Jays fan, you know what I'm talking about. You know, they had such an amazing run through June, most of July, and then things started to get a little bit shaky late August into September here, and oh man, they just had some games they just can't hit a ball as much as they try. Other games are pitching just falls apart, and I know that's sports, but I was so pumped up and so excited, and I still am. I haven't given up, but there's no reason to give up. They're going to be in the playoffs one way or the other. It'd be nice if they got the bye, but if they don't start winning and the Yankees don't start losing, I think we might be in more of a wild card playoff spot, and that goes next week. So, come on, Blue Jays. Let's get a win here today against the Red Sox. They lost last night by a score of 4-1. And again, just couldn't hit the ball. And poor George Springer last night in that game. You know, some of the umping lately has been a little questionable. And of course, I know there's the conspiracy theorists out there that believe the whole league, the American side of Major League Baseball, doesn't want a Canadian team in there. It's always for the Yankees. I don't buy that, but it gives them something to talk about. So game two in the series with Boston goes today, game three tomorrow, and then the final three-game series regular season against Tampa Bay, who are always a problem. That'll be coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Toronto. And then after all the games are done Sunday, we'll see how it all lays out. What do we have? Like a dozen teams that'll be left, I think, heading into the playoffs out of 30 or so. Come on, Blue Jays. Boy, we're getting lots of texts on a number of our topics here this morning on the Evan Bray Show, 1-877-332-8255. If you're just joining us, you may not have heard, but within the past hour, the Supreme Court of Canada basically put a stay in place on the killing of the 400 ostriches in BC. And what that means basically is everything's on hold. The Supreme Court of Canada will then decide in early October if they even want to hear this case. So they have to decide if they'll hear the case, and they could say, yeah, we'll hear it, and that'll prolong things even more. They may also say, yeah, no, or this isn't a case that we want to deal with. So it would then fall back to the CFIA, and I'm guessing they would go ahead with the cull. It is interesting, though, how people are perceiving this. One of our listeners, Dexter, says, okay, so if this was a flock of 400 chickens, would it get the media attention? No, it wouldn't. I'm with you on that 100%. That's the way the world works nowadays. Like, these people in British Columbia, for one thing, ostriches are a lot bigger than chickens, and I know that maybe sounds kind of silly, but they've got a lot of people on their side. And of course, there's a lot of people with their theories as to what's going on. And there's people saying, why don't you test these birds more? Why don't you use them for scientific testing instead of killing them? Another person along the line of the chickens, this is one of our listeners here, Vic, who says, CFIA has killed many elk farms in Saskatchewan. And Vic says this agency killed his 182 elk when one of them tested positive for chronic wasting disease. From diagnosis, my elk were dead in 10 days, and CFIA basically destroyed me too. I sympathize with the bird owners. I don't completely understand avian bird flu, but this spring, he says, there were dead snow geese everywhere on our farm. I took note of over 70 dead birds. And that's what's happening with this avian flu, be it in chicken flocks, domestic chicken flocks, be it in, you know, wild flocks of ducks, geese, whatever. You hear about these big kill-offs from this disease. And in the particular case of this ranch, this farm in British Columbia, last December, they lost 69 of these ostriches to the bird flu. I'm no bird flu expert. I'm no virus expert. But these people are saying, listen, if this flock has survived since that outbreak last December, then why shouldn't they be allowed to live? And I'm guessing CFIA is taking the approach, we don't want to take that risk. Why would you take that risk when you could be spreading this avian bird flu if these creatures are allowed to live? So who knows how this is all going to play out. Another text in on that same topic, 1-877-332-8255. We've had avian bird flu for 3 years now, and hundreds of thousands of birds have been killed. Let's report on the reason why we're doing this. Somebody else says, Got to make sure I got my texts right here. This is government overreacting. 1-877-332-8255. What else have we got? Oh, okay, on the gun issue too. That's also getting a lot of reaction from people as Ottawa is moving ahead with the, they call it the gun buyback program. A lot of listeners texting saying, why are they calling it a buyback? We didn't buy our guns from the federal government. It is. It's a word game, isn't it? So it is a, and even though Ottawa won't say it, it is a confiscation. That's the reality of it is. Ottawa says, you have this gun. We don't want you to own it anymore. You have to give it back to us or our agents. They will destroy it and we'll give you some money. Another listener pointed out, and there may be something to this. I know even Bob Freeberg, who was in with me earlier today, Saskatchewan's firearms commissioner, people are saying, you know, it sounds like it's going to be a first come, first serve, and that might be some of the pressure tactics by Ottawa on this. The idea being, we've only got a limited amount of money for this program, so you better get your gun turned into us so you can get your compensation, because when the tap runs dry, there won't be any more money, but you would still have to turn. I don't know for a fact that's how this is all going to play out. But the interesting thing is, while this test pilot, as they're calling it, in Cape Breton gets underway here next week, the 1st of October, and they'll have a website set up, and people in Cape Breton will then go on there, and if they have a valid gun license, they'll be notified by the RCMP that they are eligible to participate. Well, they'll be saying you should participate. So you go to the online portal, you then declare your interest in participating in the program, and you set up having them come pick up your gun, and you get your money. 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Anything on your mind, love to hear from you. I'm still here for another half hour. Evan's back in the chair behind the microphone tomorrow. It's been my pleasure to be here today and for the past couple of days as well. On 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.